But it is good to be here. And I would ask a couple of things. I would ask you to pray for our pastor, Pastor David Montgomery over at Gravel Hill. He's been having a lot of heart problems. He's had, 15 heart casts over the years and everything. And he has AFib and all that, and having a lot of chest pain and everything lately. And just ask you to pray for him. He's been a good pastor, and I really appreciate his support and encouragement in what we're trying to do. And just ask you to pray for him, Pastor David there. And I don't have a message that's focused on the Philippines or anything like that, so you can say amen there. But I will give you a little bit of an update on just one thing. You may have read it. If you've read Pastor Nono's letter, you probably know that he's become a grandfather now. And it's not because one of his kids, where they were married, had their own kid, but Sister Everjoy, who's the pediatrician that we work with at the hospital we helped build over there, one day they actually found a child on the doorstep of that hospital, not even a month old, abandoned. Well, the Lord's worked it out to where they've actually adopted her, and now they have their child because she had had a miscarriage earlier before. So they've got a little girl now, and Pastor Nono's got a grandpa, and he's pretty proud about it. So that's, I would ask you to pray for them and pray for, her name's Beulah, so just pray for little Beulah. So she's probably 3 months old now, maybe somewhere around there. So, but that, it's kind of neat how God can use some things that you wasn't even expecting for him to use in that way. His being able to build that hospital, be able to treat patients there, and now they got a new family member as well just from that. So would ask you to pray for them. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And then you can hold your place there before I get to any reading there. I got a little bit of an introduction to get to first before I read anything there, but you'll be ready to go when I get to it. Before we start, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're so grateful for another opportunity, privilege it is to be able to come to your house. But thank you for the beautiful day you've given to us. Lord, thank you for all that's come today. Lord, just ask you to help us do and be what you'd have us to be today. Say what needs to be said. Give them the message that they stand in need of. If there's one here, Lord, that's lost, that doesn't know you, Lord, I ask you to speak with them, touch their hearts. Lord, draw them to you, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, just ask you to help this church, give them guidance, give them leadership, give them wisdom, Lord, to make the right decisions and the path that you'd have them to trod. Lord, just ask you to bless them in their endeavors, Lord, in trying to get the gospel out and staying in unity and loving one another, loving thy brethren, and loving the lost of this world, Lord. Just ask you to encourage them, give them a little bit of a attaboy. It's always good when you give us an attaboy. We're doing a good job. Just, Lord, just let them know that. Just encourage them during all this time. Lord, just give them the man that they stand in need of, Lord, to be able to lead them on into that future the brother was talking about this morning. Just keep going. Lord, just help us today. Lord, hide us behind the cross. Lord, just give me the words that would be beneficial to them. Lord, just get Jeff out of the way and let him see Jesus this morning. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it reads, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Sheep having no shepherd. As Jesus traveled the land when he came to this earth, and even before that, when he looked out from eternity past onto what would be creation and the travails of mankind, he saw a scattered, leaderless, vulnerable, endangered people, a people who in totality had gone astray, a people stained with sin, a people who were hopeless, helpless, a people who were in need, a people who needed redemption, who needed a Savior. And upon seeing this, his heart was moved. The heart of the Son of God looked upon us with compassion, with love, with mercy, with the intention of demonstrating to us his divine grace by becoming the shepherd to a shepherdless people. He deeply desires to be my and your shepherd. And this is why if you're saved today, you can say along with the psalmist in Psalm 24 and 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I will admit to you, when I was very young, that first verse of Psalms 23 confused me. I had heard about Jesus all my life. all the great things he had done for us and continues to do, how he loves us, gave his life for us, cares for us, saved us from our sin, gave us a promise of everlasting life. So why in the world would I not want this Savior, this Shepherd, this Lord Jesus? Because isn't that what that verse says? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why wouldn't I want him? That's how my young mind was taking that word want. Why wouldn't I want the shepherd who does all this for me? Well, if he is all that we said he is, why wouldn't I want him? I should want him. I should desire him. I should love him. I should serve him. I should worship him. It wasn't until later I actually realized the word want in that verse means lack, means fail, means to decrease. Meaning, if the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack in my necessities for life. I will not fail in my purpose he has saved me for. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will increase instead of decrease because I'm a child of God and a joint heir of Christ. So that word want means has a whole other meaning to what I was understanding it to mean. Now, I'm not going to tell you how long that confused me until I made the realization that that word want meant something entirely different than I thought it did. Maybe last week. No. I realized that it did take a while for me to go, what does that actually mean? When it actually clicked, that verse made a whole lot more sense to me along with the rest of that Psalms 23. But with that in mind, it is this shepherd that I would like to focus on today. Why we should want this shepherd, because he shall cause us not to want. Why we should desire the shepherd, because we shall not lack. Why we should love this shepherd, because with him we cannot fail. Why we should worship him, because we shall not decrease, but instead increase. If you're saved today, are you not glad you have a shepherd who will never leave you nor forsake you? A shepherd who loves you, a shepherd who cares for you, a shepherd who will do all in his power to reach you when you have wandered off the path. And believe me, we as sheep are prone to wandering. So to describe this shepherd and why we should desire him to be our shepherd, I'm going to show you three adjectives, three descriptive words the Bible uses to describe this loving and caring shepherd. And the first one is found here in John chapter 10. And I'm not going to preach anything that's new to you today. It's going to be very familiar scripture for most of you. So you pray for us as we try to bring something out, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. So John chapter 10, let's start reading at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and am known of my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, first we see here that Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. He's the one who watches over, who cares for his sheep. He makes sure that they are well fed, that they're healthy sheep. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It says there with pasture. Verse 9 states that by him we can go in and out and find that pasture. We can find sustenance. We can find nourishment. We can have the ability to grow and mature in him if we know him. Amen. We can actually grow in spirituality. We can grow in relationship to God. We can grow more righteous and less like this world and be more like him if we know him, right? Amen. Verse 10 states that by him we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Meaning we don't have just a mere existence where we just kind of eat through life, but we have a life with purpose. We have a life with joy. We have a life with peace. We have a life with hope. We have a life with love. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some hope in your life. Amen. You've got something to look forward to. You've got a friend who will never leave you, never forsake you. You have a friend that's going to stick closer to you than any brother. You got something when you got Jesus. Amen. That's a good shepherd. That anybody that cares for us and watches over us like he does us, we consider him good, right? Amen. If our parents are good parents, that means they actually take care of their children. They correct them when they're in the wrong, but they encourage them and help them to grow and help them to mature, help them to become mature adults. We call them good parents, right? Well, he's the good shepherd because he's so much more than that. He does so much more for us than what we realize half the time. He gives us a life where he promises all of our need will be met. We read that in Philippians 4:19. You think about all that, and that's an abundant life. It's not just a mere life. It's not just going through this life hoping for the best, but we have something to look forward to. We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God's people. We can actually come together in a congregation and actually worship the Lord, have his spirit touch us and give us purpose, give us life, give us a direction in this world so we can actually get something more out of this than just existing through it. That's something that's good, isn't it? That's something to be happy about, to be blessed about. That's an abundant life. That's a life where we truly lack for nothing. He also calls himself the door of the sheep in verse 7. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, here he is referring to a common practice the actual shepherd used at that time. Now, when night came, the shepherd would gather all of his sheep into a pen or a sheepfold, some protected area, where there was only one way in and only one way out. And once all the sheep had been gathered in, the shepherd would lay across that entrance, that one way in, one way out, so nothing could get out without him knowing it, and nothing could get in to harm the sheep without him knowing it. One would have to go through the shepherd to get in, not around him, not over him, but through him. And later on, Jesus would say in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He was the door for the sheep. If you want to be able to get to the Father in heaven, you want to be able to go to heaven, have everlasting life, you got to go through the shepherd. You can't go around him. You can't avoid him. You can't get some other way into heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the shepherd. Amen. So he's our door for the sheep to be able to get into that eternal sheepfold, into everlasting life, into a heaven above. The only way to get into that is through the shepherd. And then verse 14 states that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. Look at verse 14. It says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Jesus knows his sheep intimately. Why is that? It's because he's purchased each and every one. How did he purchase us? How did he buy us? He bought us with his own blood. He bought us, purchased us with the blood that he shed upon Calvary. His blood was sufficient for the entire world to be saved. But it's only efficient for those who will actually believe upon him. Does that make sense? It's sufficient for everybody to be saved, but it's only efficient when that blood is applied. When it's actually there and it actually purchases that sheep, then that sheep becomes him. It becomes his, and he knows that sheep, and that sheep knows him. When he says come, that sheep knows his voice, and that sheep's going to follow him. It's not going to follow somebody else. It's supposed to follow him because he's the one who's purchased. He's the owner of those sheep. You know, I kind of like the idea of Jesus owning me. Because before Jesus, Jeff was in charge. Jeff knows how to make a lot of mistakes. Jeff knows how to mess up. Jeff doesn't know which direction to go, what lies ahead, what happened in the past, how it applies, or anything like that. But we're talking today. God knows all the future. He knows all the past because God is immune to time. He's outside of the timeline. He can look in any time he wants. He knows how everything's going to start and how everything's going to end. He knows everything about you, so he can guide you all the way through that. Very easily for him. But all we have to do is look for him. We think we can be in charge and figure it out. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know what happens when we leave this building today. Any of you? We're all not prophets and seers like that. He knows exactly what's going to happen with every heartbeat that goes along in your life. Not just mine, but each and every one of us. He knows when one hair falls from our heads. And there's some of us where it's falling a whole lot more than others. You think about that. You really think about the power of God in having that kind of knowledge. Moses and them, they didn't think about anatomy and everything that's down to the cellular scale or even to the atomic scale. God knows everything about every little cell, can't pronounce nothing this morning, cell that's in your body. Every little thing, that cell life, the nucleus, and that. And even, you can go down even farther. He knows everything that's, that matter's made of. All the molecules, the atoms that actually go together, the energons and the protons and the neutrons that come together and actually form. He knows each and every one of those. You think of the intellect that such a God possesses, such a being possesses, to be able to know that, be able to put it together so that we can actually have life and have an existence out inside this. And then you expand that to the entirety of the universe, where we can't even, don't even know the bounds of. He created it all. He knows where each and every little piece of atom and the forces that hold those energons and protons and stuff together. He knows all of that. Scientists actually named that force because they couldn't figure it out for a while. That force that holds the energons, or the electrons, I'm calling them energons, electrons and protons and neutrons together. You know what they called that force? Because they couldn't figure it out. They call it the God force. They couldn't figure out what held it all together. You look at the book of Colossians, Jesus says, basically Paul's talking about Jesus. He's the one that actually makes all things exist. They makes them consist together. He holds everything together. If there wasn't no Jesus, none of this would hold together. They wouldn't be anything. Amen. That's the shepherd that we're following. That's the power of the shepherd that we're following. That's the care of the shepherd that we're following. To know everything that falls from your head, every thought that goes through your mind, every word that you say in your entire life, he knows everything about you and he cares about you. He still loves you despite that fact. In this sinful body and these sinful thoughts and this sinful mouth, everything that's recorded, he still loves us. He still cares for us. He still watches over us. He still shows us his mercy and grace. That's a shepherd I want to know. Amen. That's a shepherd I want to want. It's not one I don't want, it's one I do want. Because he's going to take good care of me. And if we'll be honest, he has been taking good care of us.
Amen.
We can say all we want to about America and its politics and how everything's falling apart, but we got to be careful as Christians. I'm going to chase a rabbit here. We got to be careful as Christians of getting an American point of view of the Bible. Just because America may be falling apart doesn't mean the rest of the world is. Just because we see things going apart, well, the Lord's coming, America's falling apart. The Lord's coming, but it's not because America's falling apart. America's falling apart because it's our fault. We as the church has failed our own country. We've remained a silent majority for a long time, and now we're seeing the repercussions of it. The vocal minority is running this country into the ground. It's almost too late for us to stand up and do anything about it. The thing is, it's not just America now. You can turn on the news and see this world is falling apart. It's not just America that's in chaos. It's all over. So, like Brother Finley was talking about this morning, all these things that's going on, these wars and rumors of wars and all this that's going to come to pass. Yeah, we're running out of time. We are running out of time. So we better take our responsibility as a Christian to get the gospel out very seriously. Because there may be a time where we don't have that technology. Where we don't have money in the bank to send missionaries, where we don't have the abilities that we have today, the blessings that God's given us today to be able to use to be able to get the gospel out. When all that's stripped away, what do you have? You better have God. Because he's going to be the only one you can depend on. Because we can say, well, we've got this, I've got my retirement, I've got my 401k, I've got food in the freezer and everything else, but when everything falls apart, none of that's going to be there. Your money's going to disappear, your property's going to be taken, and it's going to be shared with the rest of the world. And if you try to stop them from it, they're going to take you out in the process.
Amen.
We can think we can have it and hoard it and do everything we want to with it right now, but it ain't going to be there. Just, what do you think they did in Germany, World War II? They took what they wanted. What they do in socialist Russia? They took what they wanted. You had no rights. And now we're giving them away.
Amen.
Oh, this is such an encouraging message, preacher.
Amen.
All right. So he knows his sheep. He chose his sheep, each one, selected each one, saved each one. The Holy Spirit convicted them. The Father drew them unto salvation. And when they placed their faith in the Lord Jesus, they were saved and became his. The sheep are his because he purchased them with his blood. His blood was sufficient for the entire world to be saved, but only efficient for those who believe, who became his. The good shepherd watched out for his sheep. He protects them from predators, from wolves and lions and bears and the sort. Jesus protected the sheep from harm and danger. And thus, if they are his, we got to realize that he will not abandon us. Unlike the hireling that Jesus mentioned here in this text, who has only been paid to watch somebody else's sheep, the sheep do not belong to the hireling. He's not invested in them. So he's going to abandon them when any danger comes. But contrary to the hireling, Jesus is, as verse 11 and verse 15 states, willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He not only cares for them, watches out for them, purchases them, but he is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He's willing to die for his sheep. And that's exactly what he done for us. The one who loves us, who purchased us, who cares for us, who protects us, who watches over us, willingly sacrificed himself for the sheep. He laid down his life for us to save us, to protect us from our greatest enemy, our sin. And that sin that brings condemnation, that sin which brings forth God's wrath, that sin which ultimately results in death. Jesus laid down his life so that we might live. Amen. Let me give you a scripture to back it up. Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He's willing to die. He did die for each and every one of us. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me, for us. That shepherd done everything he possibly could to protect us and to save us, to show us his love, to show us his mercy, to show us his grace. He done everything to the ultimate point of giving his life for us. That's a good shepherd. That's an excellent shepherd, if you ask me, but that's a good shepherd. He's willing to lay down his life for us. But it doesn't stop there. Look at how Jesus ends his discourse on the good shepherd. Look at verses 17 and 18 there. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. He lays down his life for the sheep, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Not only is Jesus willing to die for his sheep, but he is able to live again for his sheep, to take his life back, to be resurrected for his sheep, to offer himself willingly to death, and then turn around and take his life back from the grasp of death in order to help live for his sheep. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll show you another word for this shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. 13, verse 20. It reads, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So not only is he a good shepherd, but now he's a great shepherd. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and forever and ever. Amen. Here we see Jesus is the great shepherd, because on the third day after his crucifixion and entombment, he arose from the grave. He was brought back from the dead, alive and well. He conquered death and the grave by his own power, by his own divinity, by his own power of life. He was seen of many witnesses. He interacted with many others. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven to go and sit at the right hand of the Father, where he now lives to intercede on our behalf, to be our advocate against the devil and his accusations. He lives again for us sheep, to continue caring for his sheep. He loved us so much, he gave his life for us, but then he picked that life back up because he cares for us so much, so that he can live again in order to offer us new life. He now lives at the right hand of the Father, where he's working on our behalf. When we can't utter a prayer, he says, Father, this is what they mean, this is what they need. We don't even have to have the words, and he's there. Amen.
because he understands his sheep. His sheep know him and he knows his sheep. He knows us so intimately. Knows us so well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows exactly what we need, what we're trying to do, what our true desires are, whether it's truly to serve him or to serve self. He knows what they are. And he's there. Come on. Come a little closer. Come a little. Let me love you a little more. Let me care for you a little more. Let me show you a little bit more mercy. Let me show you a little bit more grace. Just stay in the sheepfold. Stop trying to get out there in the world, get out there and get into trouble, get in some ditch. As soon as I say that, some little, what is it, YouTube or Facebook clip pops into my head. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but there's this big ditch line. It's like a deep ditch, just going down some road in the Middle East. And there's this one dude dressed like a shepherd, basically, got the back legs of a sheep that's actually fallen into this ditch. And he's trying to pull that sheep up. And finally, he gets that sheep up, sets it down on the ground. That sheep starts running, runs, bam, right back in the ditch. That's exactly what we do. And you know what that shepherd does? He goes back, pulls that sheep up, back out of that ditch. That's where it stops, but I'm guessing it probably jumps around and falls right back in, just like we do. But you know, he cares for us. He lives for us to be able to help us in those times of need. He's not dead and in some grave, but he's still alive, still helping care for us. He conquered death for us. He defeated something that we have no hope of defeating for us. And then turns around and gives us the ability to defeat that same death through his own power. That's a great shepherd. That's a great shepherd. Giving us something we never had the ability to do in the first place. He lives for a sheep. He continues to care for a sheep. He lives so that we might too live. By the power of his resurrection, we too could be resurrected and follow him to our heavenly home. The one who is willing to step out from glory, to leave his home, to come to a world that hated him, that scorned him, that belittled him, that caused him pain and suffering, that crucified him. Jesus willingly laid down his life for that exact same world and took his life up again so that those of this world who believed might be saved, might have everlasting life, might have that same type of power over death and have a life with him, our great shepherd, in glory forever. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." That's a promise we have. We don't have to fear death in the grave. And some of us may leave this world by that, but that shouldn't hold any fear, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that should be exactly what we're looking for as Christians, to see that great shepherd who's done so much for us. You ever thought, what are you going to do when you see Jesus for the first time? What are you going to do? What about you, in you, is going to be the proper greeting for that great shepherd? Are you going to fall at his feet? Are you going to just give him a big hug? I don't know. I think I'll just be so overjoyed just to be there and just to be seeing him coming my way. Because he's done so much for me where I've done so little for him. Done nothing to deserve what he's done on my behalf. What he's doing for me now, what he's going to do for me in eternity. Nothing Jeff has done deserves any of that. Doesn't deserve his love, doesn't deserve his mercy, does not deserve his grace. But that's how great he is, because he keeps pouring it on. Amen. He just keeps pouring it on. Doesn't the psalm say, "And our cup runneth over"? We got so much we don't know what we have. We belittle it sometimes. We disgrace it sometimes. We bring shame to him sometimes, because we just don't realize how much he loves us and how much grace he's bestowed upon us to become a child of God, to become a sheep of this great shepherd's fold. What a privilege that is. What a calling that is. What a responsibility that is. It comes with a responsibility.
to be an example to those other sheep that need to come into the fold. They need to follow right in line. They got to go through the shepherd. We have a great shepherd. A great, great shepherd. First Corinthians 6 and 14, again, the God hath both raised us up the Lord, and will also raise us up us by his own power. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. He'll bring you back to life as well. And John 14 and 19, because I live, ye shall live also. He's willing to lay down his life, but he also took it back up so that we can have life. We don't deserve life. We don't deserve the life that God gives us and is willing to bestow upon us just by placing our faith in his Son. We deserve an eternal death, not eternal life. We deserve an eternity in torment and hell because we were at war with God before he saved us. We were enemies with God. And I think I preached on this last time. You're going to get a little bit of last time with it. Amen. We were the enemies with God. But God showed us his love, showed us his mercy, showed us his grace, and brought us into that fold through his Son. He didn't have to do that. That's it. He doesn't force us to go into that fold. He doesn't make us go into that fold. He invites us into that fold. It gives us the power of choice to choose. Choose whether to reject or accept his Son. I'm so glad I accepted the Savior. I'm so glad I'm part of that sheepfold of heavenly places. I'm so glad that I'm part of that great shepherd's fold because he treats me so well. He's done so much for me. Because I live, ye shall live also. There's a hymn used to sing. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. I would have sung that for you, but I would like you to stay. He lives for us. He has life to offer us. A sheep in the ditch that would have stayed there has a shepherd that will pull them out and give them a new life, a new opportunity, a new purpose, a new direction than they ever had before. But you got to know the shepherd. So he's a great shepherd. He's the great shepherd because he was brought again from the dead. He defeated death in the grave for you and for me. And now he lives and bestows upon us who are of his fold, who are his sheep, who have been bought and paid for by his blood, the exact same power of life which will take us into eternity. But it doesn't end there. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now I'm almost done. Believe it or not, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Scripture says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this verse calls Jesus the chief shepherd. Now the first thing you're all thinking is that word doesn't start with a G. We've had good, we've had great, but what does this word chief mean? Well, I looked it up. It means grand. Good, great, and grand. He's a grand shepherd. I like that. I like when it falls all together too. That's always kind of neat. Good, great, and grand. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and here he's the grand shepherd. And what makes him so grand? Well, what does that verse say? When the chief shepherd shall what? Appear. Huh. What's that talking about? Well, he died for us, he lives for us, and he may have ascended into heaven, but one day soon, he's coming back for us. Amen, church? He's coming back for us. He's ascending to heaven to live for us, but he's coming back for us. He's going to appear again. One day he's coming back for us. He's going to appear in the clouds and call his people, his sheep, home. In John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brother Finley was touching on this morning. I just pointed at Michelle. Looky here. He's going to read my scripture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if that don't excite you this morning as a Christian, something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. He died for us. He lives for us. He's coming back for us. Amen. To take us home where we was never designated to go. A place where we don't even deserve to trod on the dusty part of that gold road. But he's paved it with gold. Isn't that, when I teach on the book of Revelation, isn't that kind of awesome? Takes one of the most precious metals that we know of down here and uses it as asphalt in heaven. Asphalt ain't cheap down here anymore, but gold's a whole lot more expensive, but he's just using it as gravel. That's what he thinks. That's the kind of home he's got prepared for us, for his sheep. He's got a perfect home for an imperfect sheep that he's made perfect because he's done everything for them. When the chief shepherd shall appear, that's what he's going to do. He's coming again to call his sheep into the eternal sheepfold. And there we shall be rewarded by the shepherd who's done so much for us. We'll receive a crown of glory, a crown which will not fade, but will instead endure while the eternal ages roll. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 it reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have a reward as sheep for doing nothing other than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about a pasture for sheep. It's there. A reward that's incorruptible, that does not fade. I mean, it's not going to go away. There's always enough. There's always plenty. It's always there. And the thing is, it says it's reserved. Something tells me that when you make a reservation, it's supposed to stay there. There's no way you can lose that reservation. You can't lose your salvation. We can go that way. You can't lose it. Because it's reserved. He's already written it down in his book. It's reserved. He's just waiting for you to show up. You think about the inheritance that we have in Christ. What the Father is willing to give to his Son is willing to share with us because we are joint heirs with him. We share in that inheritance. What goes to Christ, he's willing to give to us. You think of what goes to Christ, the Son of God, who created all things, who knows all things, who is everything. He's willing to share with us. That makes him a grand shepherd, doesn't it? What he's willing to do for us. By him, the great shepherd, we can come to the Father. We have access to a heavenly home. By him we could walk the streets of gold and lay down in green pastures beside the still waters of that crystal river. By him our souls are fully restored. With him we will walk the paths of righteousness. By him we will be forever comforted with no fear of enemies or death or evil to fret over. By him we will be able to sit down at the Father's table where our cups will truly runneth over. And goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why you should want Jesus to be your shepherd. You will not lack, you will not fail, and you will increase exponentially by knowing him.
That's why you should want him.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You should want him this morning. If you don't know him this morning, you should want him as your shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a grand shepherd.
He died for us. He lives for us. And one day he's coming back for us. If you're saved today, aren't you glad you know him? My question to you, are you a part of his fold? Are you one of his sheep? Do you know him? Is he truly your shepherd? As we come to our feet, the musicians come, every head bowed, every eye closed. That's the question I want to pose to you this morning. Do you know him as your shepherd? He knows everything about you, but do you know him? Do you understand that he does everything for you, that he died for you? That even in death, he defeated death, come back to life by the power of the resurrection to live again for you, in order to offer you new everlasting life. And because of that, one day he's coming back to call you home. He's a good, great, grand shepherd. Do you know him this morning? Do you need to come?